Hey everybody, and welcome to Pandemic Fine. This is our first episode and I'm still learning the ropes, so bear with me. I'm Stephanie and I am making this podcast with whoever wants to talk to me on this podcast. So tonight it's going to be my husband who was mostly forced to do this. His name is John. John, you want to say hi?
Hello.
I wanted to do a podcast for a while and I couldn't come up with a name. So one of my friends suggested Pandemic Fine after we had a conversation where I was trying to explain to her what this term meant. If you are not aware of what Pandemic Fine means, it's basically like you're doing okay during a pandemic, right? You're like still exhausted and tired of the way that the world has become, but you're fine. You're healthy. You're surviving. It's okay. And that's kind of the theme of the past year and month, I guess, year and an extra month. So basically all of 2020 from March until today, I would say, is a time period I would characterize as being pandemic fine. During the pandemic fine times, I've found myself trying out different things, consuming lots of new media, shall we say. Trying out a few new hobbies here and there, just trying to entertain myself during these long days. But it does seem like we're finally coming out of Pandemic Fine a little bit. I feel like there's hope on the horizon. John, what do you think?
I hope so. The days seem so long.
We just had in our family our first COVID scare this week, so we thought we had really made it. Turns out we almost didn't. But don't worry, everybody's fine. It was just a false positive and everybody's good. So John and I obviously have been living together through this pandemic for the past 14 months. And, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but I think for the most part we've survived pretty well.
Yeah.
Not too many moments where I really, really wanted to leave the house and go live somewhere else. But I'm not going to lie, there's a few times that I did really want just like the house to myself for an extended period of time to take a nap and watch whatever I wanted and not hear the kids and not talk to you. No offense.
None taken.
But it's been a long 14 months for sure.
It's been longer than 14 months.
Really?
Like 3 years.
Hey! That's rude. That's a low blow. So I thought today we would just talk about like, how do we make it through? What have we been doing? How did everybody survive this for this long? I think it's weird to consider where we were at this time last year, kind of thinking like, oh, this is just going to be a couple of months. It'll be fine in the summer. Everybody will be back to normal. But then it kind of sunk in, I would say by like July, that this was going to continue for a lot longer. And I'm still not quite sure what the next 6 months will hold in terms of the pandemic and, you know, where we can go and what we can do. But we've survived this long and I thought maybe it would be a good thing to reflect on how we've gotten through the pandemic fine without totally losing it. So I'm going to start with a phrase and question that was really coined by Sir Andy Cohen, one of my personal heroes.
Has he been knighted?
No, well, by me, yes. Andy Cohen, the creator and executive producer of a lot of the media I consume, which is Bravo TV. Anyway, the phrase he coined was, during one of the Housewives reunions, he asked everyone to name their rose and their thorn of the season. So I'm going to ask John, what was your rose and the thorn of the pandemic thus far?
I think the rose is I've really enjoyed cooking, having the time to pick a recipe, Instacart the ingredients over, and then cook it. And they're usually bad for me, but I don't care because we're in a pandemic and it's delicious.
I'm not going to lie. John is a very good cook. I think underappreciated prior to the pandemic. I think we didn't have the time to have you cook as many meals as you've made. And we have definitely eaten well. And I appreciate that about you. I will say though, you're right. Like none of the recipes were particularly on the healthy side. I mean, not like we were eating fried food, but nothing. John is not the kind of guy who looks up recipes on Skinny Taste, as I'm sure some of my other friends might identify with.
I still fry, but via air.
Exactly. The air fryer has been a very important part of our process. But I think that I'm trying to really rally. This is the first week, probably since 2020, that I've said to John, why don't we try meal planning this week? We know what we're doing each night for dinner. So I'm trying to pitch in where I can, but I do appreciate that, Rose. It has been enjoyable.
I think that pre-pandemic, when we were working full-time jobs.
With commutes.
We were a box mac and cheese family, but now we are a mac and cheese family from scratch. And I will miss that when we are. I'll have to go back to normal and we go back to the box.
What a nice analogy. We used to be the box mac and cheese. Now we're homemade mac and cheese.
We melt that cheese now.
We melt that cheese ourselves. And what would you like to say is your thorn?
I've just missed being indoors, not in my own house. Anywhere, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's been particularly hard. And in the winter, really sucked. There was nowhere to go. It was very cold, and we were stuck inside, and the kids were tired of being inside, and we were tired of being inside. So I would say February was a thorn in that regard for all of us.
Yeah. What about you?
I think...
You can't take my thorn.
I'm not trying to steal your thorn. I think for my rose, I would say, you know, the silver lining of the pandemic is kind of having time to try new things at home, like to try different hobbies. I mean, I tried to do a different craft every month last year. I'm not particularly good at crafting, but I enjoyed the journey. I also felt like I have had a lot more time to listen to podcasts, and I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I think this time that we've had at home has allowed me to occupy my time with some things that I might otherwise be occupying with a nap. You know what I mean? Because I'd be so tired from commuting, etc.
Yeah.
Thorn. I would say the thorn in my side was trying to manage virtual learning at the same time as I was the teacher of virtual classes. That was a toughie. And it really wasn't that bad until the winter, I have to say. The winter months were definitely hard, I think probably on everyone. And so I felt that. Another sort of mixed bag, I think thorn and rose, would be my newfound obsession during the pandemic with Buy Nothing groups. And I think we need to dive into that a little bit right now. So at the beginning of the pandemic, our neighborhood, like for weeks, like our neighborhood looked like it was having its annual yard sale. Everybody had stuff out front. People were just rotating toys, right? You'd grab a toy from one person, put it out a few weeks later for the next person. And so that was enjoyable. The kids definitely had fun, like, you know, just having a random few weeks with other people's toys. Because as we know, OPT, other people's toys are always better than your own.
It was like those free library stands, just with other people's shit around their house.
Exactly. And, you know, we did get some good little items from that. I just want to remind everybody that my sister, who was visiting and forgot to bring a booster seat for my nephew, we were walking around the neighborhood and there was a booster seat sitting out and we got to have one. So, you know, it was definitely to our benefit. Then, like, as the summer, you know, went on, people started joining, like, these more formal Buy Nothing groups. So there's two viewpoints, I think, on the interwebs. There's free cyclers, and then there's Buy Nothingers. And they're two different things. So free cyclers are just like, here, take this thing. And it's, you know, it's on my porch, just come take it. And whoever wants to come take it will come take it. The Buy Nothing groups, there's a lot of rules. Like, you're not supposed to just give it to the first person who wants to come pick it up. You're supposed to let it simmer. It has to be hyper-local. You can only join the Buy Nothing groups if you're within certain boundaries on the zip code and things like that. So I found the Buy Nothing groups to be a little bit more intimidating because there's a lot more involvement from moderators. But in both groups, I've noticed a plethora of items that I just think are not appropriate. For example, this woman, like a few months ago, posted 7 pairs of underwear, gently used. She wasn't sure of the size. She says, size, they're big. And you know,
I can't trust someone that says their underwear has been gently used.
I would agree. I think that gently used underwear is crossing a bit of a line. I think that in terms of hygiene, it's probably one of the few products that you really can't...
It's really personal.
Very personal. I don't think you can go wrong with an extra washing or two, and I just don't think it's something you loan out or give away for free.
I think that if Goodwill won't take it,
Yeah, I think that's a good baseline. If Goodwill won't take it, then why is it on FreeCycle? So that was strange, but you know what? Somebody took it. So who am I to say? Maybe it is normal to share underwear. Fine, whatever. In a more recent development, actually a couple of my friends and I have a thread going about random FreeCycle or Buy Nothing items. One of my friends joined a FreeCycle group, or sorry, a Buy Nothing group, right when she moved to a new neighborhood. And the first thing she saw posted was a half-used bottle of colon cleanse that was available for pickup behind Best Buy. We've talked a lot about it. My friend and I am trying to unpack.
How do you use one of those? Does it go?
It's pills.
Down the hatch or up the?
It's pills. Oh God. Okay. Colon cleanse. You take it through the mouth and then everything comes out. You're cleansing. You don't want to put something in the rear entrance. It doesn't matter.
Flush.
It's not like you're reusing the same thing, right? It's pills. So if it's half empty, then somebody took half of them and now there's half left.
Well, their colon clearly wasn't that dirty.
I guess not. They were happy with the cleanse only halfway through. But the question is that code for something? Half used colon cleanse behind the Best Buy? It just seems like maybe that's, you know, is something else going on. It's a mystery I'll never know the answer to.
Why is it got to be behind Best Buy?
I don't know. That's just where they arranged for pickup. So, you know, she did not take the half-used colon cleanse bottle, but I've always wondered whatever happened to that. Another friend posted from a Buy Nothing group that somebody recently posted a sex toy that was available that had been gently used.
What kind?
You know, honestly, I couldn't.
Didn't follow up.
I know there was a picture, and I didn't know what I was looking at. It looked kind of like a ring with some vibrating gemstones, shall we say. The moral of the story is, would you, if you were, let's say you're single during the pandemic.
I'm sorry, and if it's not in the original packaging.
it still had the original instructions. And maybe the warranty, I don't
know. Somebody that saves manuals.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. The Buy Nothing group seem to have gotten a little looser in terms of what we can and cannot share with one another.
I think it's just because people are just, they don't know how to interact with other people anymore.
They've lost their social cues.
They've lost all filters.
I guess that could be true. I personally have not yet shared any personal, what shall we say, personal hygiene or personal pleasure products on the FreeCycling group, but I have gotten rid of a lot of clothing, kids' clothing, and books and toys. So in some ways it's been beneficial, but in other ways it's been a real rabbit hole, a real adventure. Jumping down that one. Let's see, what else should we talk about? So I think that another thing that we've done to get through the pandemic has been to watch a lot of shows. We're big show people. I think that we have always been on the upward trend of what's hot on TV these days. What would you say is the best series that we watched on Netflix?
Netflix, we've been doing a ton of documentaries. Like true crime stuff. It's probably been our genre.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was like a favorite we had. They all sort of run in together.
There's so many good ones.
A lot.
I think the most recent one we watched was the, what is it called? The paintings. Missing paintings.
Oh.
This is a robbery.
This is a robbery.
Which I thought was really, really good. Very well done, but also disappointing ending. Not going to say why, but it was disappointing. But I feel like we really, for the exception being Handmaid's Tale, I basically don't watch anything that's not a documentary series or reality television anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reflection of where I am at mentally. I just want to go to someone else's reality and not be in my own for a moment.
Yeah,
you know, it's a nice distraction because I don't have my usual social interactions maybe to entertain myself. So instead I entertain myself by imagining that I've joined other people's reality experiences. Oh, I mean, we watched the usual realities at the beginning of the pandemic. Tiger King, for example. We also watched, what was that love show?
I think Tiger King was more a documentary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What's the love show we also watched?
Love is Blind.
Oh, Love is Blind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm still following a lot of the people from that show. I, of course, was a big Mark supporter. Not a fan of Messica. In case anyone out there has not followed Mark's story, he has now had his first child with a new fiance. I'm very happy for him. Yes.
He avoided that train wreck.
He avoided a train wreck. I don't think Jessica has found anyone else just yet. The other show that was really good at the beginning of the pandemic that I really feel was the unsung hero was Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, I love that show.
That show was so good. So if anyone's out there wondering, you know, what can I watch on Netflix? I think everyone should watch Love on the Spectrum because it was heartwarming, it was dramatic, it was funny, it was just so good. So Love on the Spectrum is a show on Netflix about people who are on the autism spectrum and they're looking to date. And so it all takes place in Australia where they have like a dating coach who helps them understand sort of the social interactions of going on a date and like relationship intimacy, things like that. And then you get to see them try it out and you just feel so proud of so many of them. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that they all found love, but I feel like they all learned so much about how to maybe move forward if they do meet someone that they might be in love with. And it was very heartwarming and I loved it.
Yeah, it was really cute. And kudos to Australia for having all of those resources.
Yeah, it seemed pretty awesome. That was a great show. Nowadays, I mean, let's be real. What do I watch? While John does a lot of his work from home in the evening after the kids go to bed, I watch a lot of Bravo television. I watch a lot of Real Housewives. But if we're being honest, like a lot of times, John finishes his work early and he comes upstairs and he catches the second half of some of these shows. So I wanted to get John's opinion on some of the trash that I love, that I really love. So, John, let's just dip our toe into the canon, if you will, of Bravo television. Let's start with Real Housewives of New Jersey. Now, for those of you out there who have not watched a Real Housewives show and are probably rolling your eyes, I'd like you to stop it. I'd like you to absorb that the Real Housewives franchise is an amazing look at female friendships. It's an amazing look at regional differences in America. And I think it actually has a lot of value in that way. And it's also very entertaining for a mindless thing to have on in the background. So, John, let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. What are your thoughts? Who are you liking this season? Who are you annoyed by? What are your insights?
I mean, I'm still trying to get the names right, but
well, I'm here to
New
help.
Jersey is, that's entertaining. They're just all characters. And it's, you know, I don't want to say stereotypical, but it's not helping them any.
I agree. New Jersey has a lot of real big personalities going on there. And I normally didn't really like that particular franchise in the past, but this season they've really brought it. I've really enjoyed it.
Frank.
Love Frank. Frank Catania.
Catania.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
Frank
what's
Catania.
His ex-wife's name?
Dolores.
And somehow they live together. They're like besties.
I'm obsessed. Yes.
Why aren't they still married?
Well, because he cheated on her like a million times.
Yeah.
So he screwed that up. But yeah, Frank Catania, formerly married to Dolores Catania. They got divorced a long time ago, but have been living in the same house, even though she has a boyfriend of her own. But they just truly love each other. It's kind of like, I mean, they have a great relationship. Better relationship than she has with her boyfriend, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he did burn that bridge when he cheated on her. I think he cheated on her notoriously when she was 8 months pregnant with their son. So that's a toughie. That's a tough pill to swallow. Tough hurdle to get over, if you will.
Major Marge. What's
her name? Marge. Love Marge. Marge and Marge Sr., her mother. Marge is one of my absolute favorites. I can't wait to read her book, or as I should really admit, listen to her audiobook. But yeah, Marge is great as well. Marge is the only blonde on Real Housewives of New Jersey. Well, there's a new cast member, but I'm not really sure if I'd call her blonde. But anyways, Marge is one of the few blondes that's ever been on Real Housewives of New Jersey, and she brought back pigtails. She is wearing pigtails.
That still makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I'm not going to be honest.
Why?
Because she's like 60-something.
First of all, excuse me. I don't think she's 60. I think she's 50. Mm-hmm. You just aged her 10 years.
Maybe.
But you know
camera
what?
Adds 10 years.
I have learned to embrace the pigtail.
Why haven't you been sporting them?
I'm embracing Marge wearing the pigtails. I'm not sure I personally am ready to bring them back out, but I will say it's a very easy hairdo. And
I think it's something you could try on a Zoom class with your students.
I'll have to ask my students if they think that pigtails should really be coming back or if we should leave them where they are in childhood.
Right.
Other shows to touch down on. So we've got Marge of the Pigtails, we've got Dolores and Frank. Let's talk about another franchise. Let's talk about Below Deck. Not a Real Housewives series. It is a reality show about people who work on a super yacht. This is not a yacht, though. This particular one is this current season is a sailboat. Is that called a yacht still?
What do they call it? It's Below Deck. Sailing yacht.
I think it's a sailing yacht.
Okay. I think it's a step down from the.
I think it's probably a little more affordable than the motor yacht. Yeah, I agree. What are your thoughts on Below Deck?
I mean, it's just full of kids that are. They just don't know what to do with themselves. And there's some half of them are either lazy and the other half take it too seriously.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I mean, yeah, I'm all for do a good job at what you're doing, and even if you don't love it. But. You know, there's that kid that's like 6'7" on this tiny little boat. Like, did you not think this through?
I think he is.
Have you Googled?
6'8" actually, and he doesn't fit on any of the crew beds. And I think he probably did it for the show, don't you?
Right. I mean, you had to have Googled it. You Googled the company you're applying for. That's step one.
I mean, my main takeaway from Below Deck Sailing Yacht is that there's very little chemistry between the cast members, I think, this season. And so it's been a lot of, like, really manufactured drama, which is, you know, not my favorite way to watch trashy TV. I like it better when it's a little more, when the characters themselves are able to create their own drama, as opposed to what I think is probably producers giving them some ideas. Like the sailing yacht, there's a lot of tension around the chef. Like, what yacht doesn't have a storyline about a tension around the chef? It's kind of boring. So I would say I'm not quite as impressed with this season as I have been with others. And you're right, it does make me feel old. There's a lot of, like, millennialism, I think, going on in the show with people who just, like, can't quite figure out what they want to do with their life. So they do these, like, 6-week charter gigs where they make $30,000 in 6 weeks, which is great. But
they spend it all on real shots.
Right, they spend it all on shots and clubs. And they don't really have, like, a clear career path. I would say for the most part, not all of them, but most of them don't have a clear career path moving forward. Now, the exciting thing for me that I'm looking forward to that's really going to up my experience during the pandemic is Real Housewives All-Stars.
What?
I don't know if you're aware of this. Okay, so this has been, like, a rumor that people have talked about on a lot of the podcasts related to Housewives for a long time, that, like, why don't we just take all the best Housewives, put them on an island, and film it? Like, why don't we take different cities and bring them together? Because they're not really...
On an island? Like a literal island?
I think that was, you know, that was... They did end up filming it in Turks and Caicos, so it is actually on a literal island. Here's my problem. First of all, from the leaks that I've seen on the internet... There's been a lot of controversy over the housewives that were selected. So there's Melissa and Teresa from New Jersey. There's Ramona and Luann from New York.
There's the A-listers.
There's Kenya and Cynthia from Atlanta. And then there's Kyle Richards from Beverly Hills. But of that list, like, is that really our all-stars? I don't know that it is.
They've been on it forever.
Huh? Some of them are the OGs, but... I still kind of miss, like, some of my, like, more favorite characters. And there's nobody from Potomac. There's nobody from Dallas.
They're new franchises, though.
I know, but don't you think they belong on the All-Stars?
They're still rookies.
I don't know. I have controversial opinions about it. However, they did release one, like, TikTok video of all of them lined up in a row doing a little dance, like a TikTok dance. And so, like, they each, like, pop off the line and, like, do a little move. And,
Because this is reality TV. This is what... This is reality.
This is reality. But Ramona from New York, who I... You know, anyone out there listening, if you don't know who Ramona from New York is, you probably need to Google it because it's that important. She's a horrible human being. She's really, like, the worst person on Bravo television right now. She also is revealed to be a terrible dancer. There, I'm going to say it. And I'm not going to lie. Did I feel a little bit of satisfaction watching her, like, shimmy off the beat a little bit? Yeah, I did. I was kind of happy to see that Ramona was there, but she couldn't quite hit it with the other All-Stars. Just saying. The other controversial piece that I think that you're going to want to really touch down on here is that the All-Stars is not going to be played on Bravo. It's going to be played on some other streaming service.
Bravo Plus or whatever they're going to
Yeah, play. I think it's Discovery Plus, but I don't know if that's connected anymore. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's like some other streaming service that we don't have.
All Stars, because I'm basically up to a cable bill with all the streaming services I pay for.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to need to subscribe to it. Maybe I can follow along, you know, through clips on the internet, but that was disappointing to see. Speaking of streaming services...
We might be glossing over one of the biggest...
What?
90 Day Fiancé.
Most watched show on television, yes. 90 Day Fiancé. Now, that show is something that I discovered maybe 2 years ago on the recommendation of my friend. Couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it the first time, and...
It was immediate love. Like... much of these people feel.
I mean, I love hate it, right? It's like so ridiculous and annoying that the decisions that people make on that show, but...
And each episode is the length
away.
Of like Ben-Hur or, you know...
It just goes on and on.
The two VHS tape.
You never
movies.
Know what you're committing to. It's, you know, you think you're watching a single episode, but it's an hour and a half long. I mean, what shows are an hour and a half long anymore? It's ridiculous, but entertaining.
That's a movie.
It's entertaining. What can I say? So 90 Day Fiancé is definitely one of my guilty pleasures of the pandemic, and it has definitely kept me pandemic fine. It has kept me mildly entertained.
Because you know what? We're doing better than these people.
Exactly. Some of them I really believe in their love and their relationship. I'm not quite as negative on all of them.
There's a few that are doing okay. I think so.
Again, 90 Day Fiancé, another show where I've heard people comment and say like, oh, that show is so stupid, like who would watch that? I would not judge it before you watch it. I gotta say, I think it actually is quite entertaining and interesting. I think it's an interesting study of what Americans think relationships should be, why Americans might think that like marriage is so important and who they find for that marriage. What are the values that we seem to think are important? It does seem like looks are quite important to American men, if I do say so myself. there's a lot of couples that I think are a bit mismatched, but there's also sort of this element of like, why would people from other countries still want to come to America? And it's a good reminder that there's still a lot of disparity between America and a lot of the other countries where some of the people are traveling from. So I look at it through that lens sometimes. And other times I look at it through trashy television and enjoy it for what it's worth.
Then there's 90 Day the other way, where the American goes abroad and is going to marry and get stayed in the their partner's country.
And those, actually, I've seen some really good impressions of 90 Day Fiancé the other way on the internet, especially the ones where, like, literally every American on 90 Day Fiancé the other way arrives in the foreign country and is like, they speak a different language here? They have a different culture here? What is this? Like, oh my gosh, I didn't think that Nigerians, like, wouldn't speak English everywhere. So it's pretty embarrassing. It's not flattering.
It doesn't make you feel good as an American.
No, not at all. But again... interesting, engaging.
There are some countries where I don't mean to be offensive, I'm just like, why? Why are you going the other way? Seems like the other way is better.
Right, but
come
I think
over
that's
here.
True. I think that's true for some of the countries, but I also think that the visa process is such a pain that ends up being the reason, and maybe the cost of the visa and all that stuff.
They don't like paperwork.
Well, it's cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say this. I listened to Bitch Sesh. I'm going to give a shout out to Bitch Sesh right now. For all my listeners, you should also go listen to Bitch Sesh, which is a great podcast about all things Bravo, but mostly related to Housewives. There are no good podcasts I've been able to find about 90 Day Fiancé. And I really want, like, you know, not a lot of my friends watch 90 Day because it is such a time commitment. And I don't have a lot of people to talk to about it. So I feel like we need to... I really need somebody to help me find a decent 90 Day podcast. There's got to be some big fans out there. So we'll leave it at that. We're almost at our 30-minute mark. I feel like that's a good time for our first episode. Yeah. I'm feeling a little pandemic fine right now, right? I've enjoyed this. I'm getting a little exhausted. It's time for my rest.
Right.
It's time for my 9:30 bedtime. I got to get going. But maybe we'll do this again, maybe with John, maybe with somebody else I rope into this. And hopefully everyone out there is also feeling pandemic fine. See you next time.